The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, 3rd Chapter, Text Number 7, given by Srila Arvinda Srupdas on August 25, 1992, in Philadelphia.
Reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 3, Gajendra's Prayers of Surrender, this morning, Text Number 7. Renunciants and great sages who see all living beings equally, who are friendly to everyone, and who flawlessly practice in the forest the vows of brahmacharya, vanaprastha, and sannyas, desire to see the all-auspicious lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. May that same Supreme Personality of Godhead be my destination. Srila Prabhupada's purport. This verse describes the qualifications for devotees, or persons highly elevated in spiritual consciousness. Devotees are always equal to everyone, seeing no distinction between lower and higher classes. Pandita samadarshanaha. They look upon everyone as spirit soul, who is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Thus, they are competent to search for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Understanding that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the friend of everyone, Suridam Sarvabhutanam, they act as friends of everyone on behalf of the Supreme Lord, making no distinction between one nation and another, or one community and another. They preach Krishna consciousness, the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, everywhere. Thus they are competent to see the lotus feet of the Lord. Such preachers in Krishna consciousness are called Paramahamsas, as indicated by the word Vimukta Sangha. They have nothing to do with material conditions. One must take shelter of such a devotee in order to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the text again. Renunciants and great sages who see all living beings equally, who are friendly to everyone and who flawlessly practice in the forest the vows of brahmacharya, vanaprastha, and sannyas, desire to see the all-auspicious lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead be my destination. So Gajendra was a worldly elephant. When he comes down to bathe, he's puffed up, intoxicated, surrounded by his harem. Is the picture of the self-satisfied, perfect materialist. Now, being seized by the crocodile, he has become attracted to renunciation. He's been brought up short in his material enjoyment. So here he understands, in his extremity, the qualification of the of those who understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who desire to see the lotus feet of the Lord, Sumangala. Mangala means auspicious, and Sumangala means really auspicious. Padam Sumangalam, the very, very auspicious lotus feet of the Lord. What people, Vimukta Sangha. Sangha means association, just like we say Sadhu Sangha, means association of devotees, but sometimes the word Sangha just by itself means all kinds of material association. So Vimukta Sangha, they are liberated. Vimukta, liberated from all kinds of material association. Prabhupada here uses the word infected. They are disinfected of material conditions because the material conditions are like an infection of a disease. Vimukta Sangha, Munaya, sages, Sadhavaha, like sadhus, but Susadhavaha, very good. very good, pious, saintly persons. Charanti aloka vratam avranam vane. They go in the wilderness. Vane means wilderness, vana, like forest or actually wilderness. They leave. This means that they are going away from places where human beings live in domestic happiness. And you get out of the not only the cities, but the villages, the agricultural fields, and they go into the wilderness. Aloka vratam, they have a vow of unworldliness. Aloka means the world, so aloka vratam. They've taken a vow of renunciation of the world. So here he says this means vanaprastas, brahmacharyas, sannyasis, and so on. So they go into the forest with this aloka vratam, avranam, which they execute flawlessly. They are equal to all living entities, bhutatma, bhuta, and surida, friends to everyone. Then he says, samegati, may that same Lord who is being sought by these people, may he also be my destination. That's what I also, now I want to seek, that same Supreme Lord. So you may think, this is instructive because here is not an elephant, first of all. Of course, a better elephant than we know here, this is taking place, not on exactly on this earth planet. The upper planetary elephant, but still an elephant. So not so qualified, and not only that, a very worldly elephant, a king among elephants. I mean, Gaja Indra means king of the elephants, Gajendra. So we've seen how he's coming down to bathe in this enjoying mood, intoxicated on sugar cane juice or whatever, and rolling his eyes in bliss. But still, he has the. Now he wants that same Lord to be the object of his vision, or his destination, rather, that is also sought by these people. So he has an appreciation of the qualifications necessary to see Krishna. So here, Prabhupada, in this purport, discusses these qualifications of the devotees. First thing he mentions, equal to everyone, seeing no distinction between lower and higher classes. Pandita sarma darshanaha, one who is wise sees everyone the same. This is also described in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nasochati Nakamchati Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. Again, this verse also stresses that one has to be Brahma Bhuta, on the platform of Brahman. That is to say, liberated, Vimukta Sangha, liberated from all material association. So, Brahma-bhuta, the symptom of those people who are Brahma-bhuta is, next one, prasanatma. They are always fully joyful on the spiritual platform. Nasochati nakankshati, you'll not see that they hanker or that they lament. This cycle of hankering and lamenting, which has the whole material world in its grip, and people caroom from this one to that one to this one to that one. Sometimes they're hankering and lamenting at the same time, even over the same object. But whatever it is hankering and lamenting. The more they hanker, the more they lament, the more they lament, the more hanker. You'll not see this hankering and lamenting over people who are Vimukta Sangha. That's the symptom. And the material that a liberated person is one who has nothing, no investment in material, in the material world. He has nothing to lose, nothing to gain by any course that material nature will take. A conditioned soul has staked a claim from the shifting sands of material nature. That person is always in anxiety. He is not prasanatma. And he's like a person who's just like that, built a, purchased a property on a floodplain. At any minute, his purchase is going to get wiped out, always in anxiety. So this is not, therefore never joyful. They're never happy. The main investment is in their own material, in their own material body, which is not to be very, very foolish. So, what else does he say here? Oh yeah. So this is, sama sarveshu bhuteshu. These are the symptoms: Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nasochati Nakangchati. Sama sarveshu bhuteshu. They see all living beings the same. They don't make distinctions. So here they're also described as suhrida, friendly to all living beings. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He also sees every living being as the same. Therefore he's called suhridam sarvabhutanam. Suhrit, like sumangala, Susadavaha, this verse, Suhrit, good heart. He's good hearted. He's like a well wishing friend. He wishes everyone well. This is Krishna's main, one of his main characteristics. Whoever you are, he wishes you the best. He sincerely enjoys the best, desires the best for you. That's what it means to be a friend. I want the best for you. In the material world, people often do not want the best for other people, even their friends. In German, there's a word, Schadenfreude. This means the pleasure, the twinge of pleasure you get when you hear that, you know, your best friend has lost his job. Naturally, oh, how horrible. But then you think, well, it didn't happen to me. And you get this little twinge of pleasure. You take pleasure, so you get this Schadenfreude, not really the well-wisher. You're not really the well-wisher. Someone who's really the well-wisher, even if he got the job you wanted, you'd still feel fully good. Oh, wonderful it happened for you. This is a well-wisher. So in the material world, people are generally not so much other people's sincere well-wisher. What you want their advancement so that you can also advance somehow or other along with them. You have some vested interest. And of course, the material world is a great deal of hatred. It's like people say to each other, go to hell. And that is not well-wisher. That's what they say. They're always cursing. And so a curse is the expression of ill will toward other people. So Krishna is always acting as a friend to all living entities. Therefore the devotee, as Krishna's representative, also has to be equally a friend. If he's not a friend, a well-wishing friend to all living entities, then how can he represent the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So that has to be the characteristic. So here Prabhupada says, how does he act as a friend of everyone? Preach Krishna consciousness without distinction to everybody. Anybody who wants it, we try to give it to them. Even sometimes they don't want it so much, we still try to make it as attractive as possible for them. So this is the proof. How do you act as the friend? What is the best thing for anybody? Even somebody who's an enemy of the Krishna consciousness movement, that what we would like to see happen is that they become devotees. We don't want them to go to hell. We don't want them to, just like Prahlad Maharaj, did not want Hiranyakashipu to suffer because of his horrible activities. He wanted him to be liberated. He was his well-wisher. And not just because he was his father either. He was the well-wisher of all living beings. So I'm worried about these people. For myself, I have no problem. What about all these people making all their plans for material advancement, caught up in Maya Sukha, illusory happiness, illusory advancement of civilization? I'm worried about them. So this is the proof of Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu. One desires the welfare of all living. So without distinction between lower class and higher class, this person, that person, no human being is we consider unqualified for Krishna consciousness on principle of some bodily distinction. And so those people who are in this way free from this material association and alokavratam have no vested interest in this course of action in the material world. We do not go to the wilderness. I mean, there's wilderness enough in Philadelphia. The asphalt jungles is our place of we're not here in the cities for enjoying. This is a higher position. One thing is to leave and go to the wilderness to seek your own salvation. But that leaves everybody in the cities and the materialistic civilization without any recourse except just to go glide on down to hell expeditiously. So the real devotees will stay there and preach Krishna consciousness, even if they're in the midst of the currents of so much material activity. How can a devotee take that risk? Because why do people go to the forest, to the wilderness? Because that is a place that is at least materially in the mode of goodness. And there are no worldly people around. There's not the hustle and bustle, the traffic of material activity and the vibration of all these appetites endlessly searching 24 hours a day, which you can feel, you know, with every breath you take when you live in material association. And you can get swept up very easy. So much sense gratification is so immediately available, you don't have to walk 100 miles to find it. So there's a risk, but for one who preaches Krishna consciousness, there's protection. If we live in these places and we do not preach, then we are in a difficult situation. But if we are always preaching Krishna consciousness, then we will be protected. This is the promise given to us by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wanted to save the people of the world. When he was traveling in South India and people wanted to come with him, he said, stay in your, don't go to the forest, stay in your town or village and save your people. You become a guru. You become a teacher of Krishna consciousness. And save your people. Teach them what Krishna has spoken in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and save them. If you do this, you will always have my association and you will not get swept away by the currents of the material world. because this Brahmana was worried that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come and he stayed with me, and now I feel the benefit of his association. I feel I am liberated from material condition. Naturally, I want to go with him. If he leaves, I'll fall down into the cycle of birth and death. I'll again get caught up. Here I am. This is my little village. Half the people here are related to me one way or the other. I know everybody. All the material activities are going on. We're worried about cities, but in India, you know, villages have a bad reputation. You'll find, for example, in Srimad Bhagavatam, the word for village is grama. So you see grama katha, for example. The word grama katha, village talk, for materialistic speech, is called grama katha. The gossip, you know, what everybody's taught, who's being born, who's having babies, rather, who's dying, who's getting married, who's fighting, who's making up, you know, who's getting money, who's losing money. Grama katha. Also, another place in Bhagavatam, gramya sukham, materialistic happiness, the happiness that is available in villages. So even small town life is not so, in spite of what the Republicans are saying, is not ultimate joy. You know, it's materialistic life. I lost my train of thought. So, anyway, one will not be caught up in all this. Currents, whether the cities or the towns or the villages, if there's preaching of Krishna consciousness, Lord Chaitanya will protect the devotee from the onslaughts of material nature. That's what he tells him. If you stay here in your village and simply learn what Krishna has taught, Krishna Upadesh, the instructions of Krishna, and repeat them as just as you've heard them, then, he said, you will not be harmed by material life around you, and you will never lose my association. This was his assurance. So not only is that assurance to one particular person, but that's our instruction. And we have to become teachers of Krishna consciousness. He says here that the qualifications here are there to be elevated in spiritual consciousness, vimukta sangha, liberated souls. We can be, we can be liberated souls in two ways. This has been described in the Bhagavad Gita. These two different ways indicated anyway. This is the verse I just discussed. That verse says that devotional service begins after you are liberated. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nasochati Nakankshati Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. One who is on this Brahma-Bhuta platform, which means liberated, not controlled by the three modes of material nature, as liberated. Mad-Bhaktim Labhate Param. At that stage, he attains my devotional service. But earlier in Bhagavad Gita, in the 14th chapter, which is a description of the three modes of material nature, how they work to bind and control the conditioned souls. Krishna also describes the process of getting free from those modes as the same process of devotional service. Mamcha yo vyabhacharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samiti taitan brahmabhuyaya kalpate. The one who performs Bhakti Yogena Sevate, devotional service by means of Bhakti Yogena, Abhyabhicharena, that's steady devotional service. That is to say, that's constant, consistent, regulated, unfailing in all circumstances. Prabhupada translates that word, Abhyabhicharena. Sagunam samititaitan. That person transcends the gunas, the modes of material nature. Brahmabhuyaya kalpate. And he attains the stage of Brahman. He comes to the transcendental position. So this describes devotional service as leading up to liberation. And the other verse in the 18th chapter describes devotional service beginning after liberation. Well, the first devotional service is devotional service in practice, and the second devotional service is devotional service that is spontaneous. Well, there's two things. But actually, for both of them are on the transcendental platform. So there are two kinds of liberated souls. One is the liberated soul who is free from all material desires, hankerings, and longings. Just absolutely. And that person's heart is just completely spotless and clear. The other kind of liberated soul is that person who may still have in the heart material desires of various kinds. But that person, because of strictly following the principles of Bhakti Yoga, does not act on any of those desires. They do not control his activities whatsoever. That person's activities are dictated by the Shastra, by the spiritual master. So that person is actually acting on the liberated platform. He's also competent to teach Krishna consciousness. You'll not be able to tell the difference from external behavior between these two kinds of devotees, at least as far as their involvement in activities of the material nature. In both cases, they are absent. One because he's following rules and regulations, the other because he has absolutely no attraction. So both of these people are competent to deliver Krishna consciousness. So the requirement is that one should be strictly following. If you take the regular principles of devotional service and you just follow them perfectly, you are acting just like a completely liberated soul. A very advanced devotee may come down in the morning to Mangal Arati because he cannot wait one more minute. He wakes up thinking, I could go see Lord Krishna, go tearing down there. We may go tearing down there, you know, being a little grumpy about the whole process. And really, you know, if it was completely, and there's something in us that wants to stay in bed. But still we get up and go. Because we have been ordered to do so by the spiritual master, we've taken that order to heart. So the external behavior will be the same. They'll both come. Even though the platform is different. So in this way, one is liberated. So that person who's strictly following the rules and regulations of devotional service, that strictly following person, very soon, actually Prabhupada says at once, when he translates that, Mamcha Yogi Abhicharina Bhakti Yogina Sevate Sagunana Samitivi, he said at once, he transcends the modes of material nature and comes to the level of Brahman. So we can understand very quickly, one can just maintain that position of being steady unfailingly in all circumstances, being steady in devotional service, then one very quickly achieves this stage. But our protection is here Our wilderness has to be this materialistic civilization, that asphalt jungle, for our austerities and renunciation. We can be like Munis in the forest. Muni, you know this word Mauna. Mauna comes from Muni by Sanskrit. Mauna means the behavior of a Muni, and it means not talking. A Muni is typically that take vows of silence. Mauna means vow of silence. So we have to take vow of silence also. Our vow of silence is always preaching about Krishna. No Gramya Katha. No village talk. No ashram politics. No gatherings in the backyard or front porch to discuss the faults of those who are not present. No, none of this. This is Gramya Katha. But that's vow of silence means we always gather together. And if we are Aloka Vratam, so we're here among all the people. Loka also means people. So we're here. We're not Aloka. We're not in a uninhabited sector. We're with the people, but still we have taken aloka vartam. We are not associating with materialistic people. We're associating with devotees. But the protection here is we have to be suited. We have to be a well-wisher of every living entity. Prabhupada, in the Bhagavad Gita, ahimsa or non-violence is defined by Srila Prabhupada as preaching Krishna consciousness. That was one who does not preach Krishna consciousness actually harbors feelings of enmity toward other living beings. If we are their well-wisher, then we will try to deliver them from bondage of material existence. If we do not preach Krishna consciousness, we'll be like a doctor who has the serum to prevent a plague in a country where everyone is dying of the plague. If he just keeps it, he doesn't do anything, you have to understand that this is criminal negligence. So similarly, we can cure the material infection of all the people around us. It's not just that we save ourselves and say to hell with them. We have to be suited. And actually, if we don't try to save them, then we'll go down ourselves, because we need the protection of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he's guaranteed that protection if we preach Krishna consciousness. So even for a materialistically situated person like this elephant, Gajendra, the position attained by those who go into the wilderness and practice austerities is available. He's not being such an upstart that he can't imagine achieving the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and putting him as his destination. And we'll see he actually attained the same vision of the Lord that other people have attained, by like Dhruva Maharaj in the forest holding his breath, and all these other feats of incredible austerity. So any questions, comments? Yeah.
This not saying unlimited is without distinction, is that talking about like the Uttama Avatar platform, or is it more that he sees every living entity as a spirit soul, but he still makes distinctions between the entities and the entities?
No. Majjhima Adhikari, he's also kind to all living beings, but he just makes a distinction for the sake of his own spiritual advancement. And he does not, he follows some practical principle. The practical principle is distinguish between devotees and demons so you know who to associate with. And look out for those who are receptive to preach to, the innocent demons. And those demons who aren't innocent, don't preach to them. Innocent means they're usually demonic because of the of bad association, but if they hear about Krishna consciousness, they'll be receptive. So you have to make this distinction. You worship the Supreme Lord, you associate with the devotees, you avoid the demons, and you preach to the innocent. But that activity of preaching has to be there. But still, that person should actively try to preach to every possible person. Those who are demonic, maybe somehow or other they can get some prasadam or something like that, also should not feel envious towards them. Those who are not on the human platform, also, they have to be protected in various ways. We also do that by trying to cause as little damage to other living beings in our lives. So that's the friendliness of all living beings, whether he's a preacher or not a preacher, Uttama or Madhyama Adhikari, still it's the same. We should be willing to preach to all human beings, not just the one that belong to our little group, you know. Of course, it's easier because those are the people you can communicate with easily is enough. Whether, you know, your little group is straight-edge kids or Gujaratis or whatever it may be. Just like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he preached to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and what's his name in Benares? And it's not Sadananda Yogin, or what's his... the head of the sannyasis in Benares? Prakashananda Saraswati, yes, thank you. Prakashananda Saraswati to him. But he said to Nityananda, you know, you can do much better with all these other people than I can. You preach to them. And so Nityananda went to other class of people. So even if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the role of not being able to, not being so competent, at least he made sure that somebody was taking care of him. So one has to have this desire to see everyone become Krishna conscious, whoever they may be.
I was just thinking, how is it the general, like you said, is worldly elephant, so how is he qualified to approach the Supreme Lord towards the general qualifications of so?
He was a devotee in his previous life. That'll be explained later on. It was like a little special circumstance. And he remembered his mantras, even though he was an elephant. So, remember your mantras. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.